Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's great to have you back. Number two is in the line, and we have had a magnificent couple of weeks here watching the WNBL, and I know, Body, we had fantastic feedback from our last podcast. All two listeners had something great to say. Over to you, my man.
I'll cut it out. You know, you keep saying two. I think you're a bit of a two.
What, we're up to three?
No, that's not what I meant. No, look, I think I was really pleased to get back into it because the WNBL has just been such fun to watch, and it's been compressed in the manner that it has. So, and things have changed. Like this week I wrote that once Townsville had pulled off the upset win over a full-strength Canberra, given that Adelaide had beaten a depleted Canberra in the first round, they had sort of basically, I figured, Adelaide had to beat Perth and didn't. Lost on that fantastic Darcy Garbin three-pointer right down the stretch there. So I thought it was over. But it turns out...
Let me just set the scene for everyone and then you can come in here and say. So Southside Flyers, as everyone expected, way out on top, 9-2, playing really well. They're going to win it. God love my Flyers. Anyway, we'll come back to that.
New South Wales colours. Just get over yourself, will you?
God bless them. Light blue and white.
Oh,
God bless them. Capitals, look, having a great season and always up there. Melbourne Boomers, sentimental favourites, I guess. Love what they're doing. Love the way they're coached. And like you said, and they're 8-3. So you've got Capitals, 8-3. Boomers, 8-3. Fire, being Townsville, 7-4. And the Lightning, when you look at the ladder, 5-6. And the rest you can forget about. They're not going to make it. And you'd think to yourself, two games in front, Lightning are done. There's your top four. But, Body, talk me through it. This may not be the case.
No. Well, tonight's game becomes a mini grand final because Adelaide needs, funnily enough, the Lightning needs three strikes for Townsville to be out. And these are the three strikes. They have to win the game, the head-to-head game, right? Because the draw was originally a 14-game schedule that got pulled back to 13 because of the fact that Lightning had to go into lockdown. And the game, the fixture that disappeared for Adelaide and Townsville was their other match together. So they've only got one game. This game tonight is their one and only match. So let's say we take Adelaide's 5-6 and they should win that. They then go to 6-6. And you look at Townsville, they're at 7-4. They would go to 7-5. Now, Townsville's last game then is against Melbourne, who they, I must say, they did beat quite comfortably earlier in the season, much to everyone's surprise at that time. But say Melbourne was to fire up and a bit of pride involved here, say, look, you know, we're not standing for that. And they get Townsville's. Townsville record then goes to 7-6. The last game of the regular season is Adelaide versus Sydney. Were Adelaide then to win that, that's the third one, the third piece that has to fall into place, they would go to 7-6. Now both teams are on 7-6. Head-to-head, they've only played once, Adelaide won, Adelaide's in. So that is the three things that need to happen for the four to change. And I didn't foresee that earlier in the week, but here it is. That's what it sits at. Now, this whole thing, everything that I've just said to you is over if Townsville wins tonight.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. And
basically.
That's going to be a ripper game because, look, both teams, you just know Townsville – they've got great firepower. You know that they can do it, but the Lightning, this will be it. I mean, if you're the coach, and I've been in this situation before, this is it. Do and die. And it's not do and die for Townsville. They can still win and make it.
Yes.
Even though, you know, there's that situation. But for the Lightning, oh man, this is a coach's dream. Just to be able to say there is no tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
There is no tomorrow. Just go out, get that win. Look, for everyone, I've been loving watching this NBL, every game you can watch, and that is going to be a ripper. I'll tell you what, though, I watched the Flyers play last week against the Boomers. Man, did they look good, Body.
Yeah, they did.
That was a game where you just said, right, they stamped their authority.
Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be mildly controversial, and I don't mean it to be.
That's unlike you, Body.
The fact that Rachel Jarry got injured late in the game against Adelaide, very late in the game, and subsequently has missed a couple of Southside fixtures, I think has helped Southside. Now, I'm not saying that Rachel Jarry's not a terrific player or anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that it has cut down the rotation for Cheryl Chambers, right? She doesn't necessarily feel that compulsion at 5 minutes into the game that, wow, I've got Rachel Jarry sitting here and I've got Steph Blitzarf sitting here. I've got to get him into the game. You know, like that pressure is eased on her. And suddenly, you know, I think they look pretty good. Actually, they look pretty good in the way they demolished Adelaide. But, yeah, you're quite right with the way they sort of avenged the earlier loss to Melbourne was really quite compelling and impressive. And I just wonder if shortening the rotation had a little bit to do with that. So
oh, it does. It does. I'm a big believer of that. I remember, you know, like obviously when I was an assistant with the Kings and then I was head coach of the ABA as well. When you've got a heap of players, you've got, let's be honest, you've got egos, you've got players mm-hmm. that want to be part of it, and you've got that it is very difficult for a coach to be able to juggle that. Sometimes when you've got one player away, whether it be injury or whatever reason, it just makes it easy with that rotation. Everyone knows their minutes. Everyone feels comfortable. And I agree with you. And the Flyers in that game showed me that on their day, you know when people say, oh, on your day, we can beat anyone?
Yep.
On their day, they cannot lose.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, one of those teams that it's like, they can win when they have an off day. They will not lose if they have a good day. Where with everyone else in this competition, they got to hope the Southside Flyers have an off day. I have got a bit of sentimental favourites for the Boomers. I love they're fabulously coached. I love the way they're playing. You know, Madgen is playing outstanding. And look, I'd love to see those two, but you just know the Capitals are going to be there. I think, you know, for fourth spot, I know you're talking about Townsville and Adelaide. They're playing for sweep stations. They're not going to get past the Flyers in the first round anyway.
No, that's extremely unlikely that anyone's going to do that. But from fourth, but nonetheless, that's a separate conversation. Southside, I'm looking at the second to last game of the regular season, is Southside versus Canberra, and you got to wonder if that is not a window to the actual grand final series. If we're not going to be looking at the championship, and therefore it becomes interesting as to how the coaches may go about it in terms of what they're willing to show the other team that they might want to keep up their sleeve. Yeah, it means we go right down to the wire. The end of the season, everything matters, provided Adelaide beats Townsville tonight. Then everything really does matter.
Well, that's what it comes down to. I'm going to throw you some left field, and I can assure you, Boddy and I speak like for hours before we start this show. I mean, today I think it was at least a minute 40, right? Yeah. So we spoke ages about this show. So I can promise all our listeners, three of you, that this has not, I have not asked Boddy this question, but I want to throw at you. Give me your best five in the WNBL. Give me your all-star five
right now.
Can you do that off the top of your head?
Oh, geez. At point guard, I'd probably have Tess Madgen.
Nice.
In the two spot, probably Lauren Nicholson.
Yep.
In the three, Steph Talbot.
Yep.
In the four, geez, let's come back to that one. Five, okay. Obviously, is Liz Cambidge. So the four is either Jenna O'Hay or Izzy Meg Begor, Jenna. Probably Jenna. So that's the fact that two of my five are from Southside is why, you know, why I think they're just a little bit way ahead, not a little bit, a long way ahead of everyone. If, as you say, they fire, they've got so much firepower, so many different ways to come at you. You know, and then like Monique Conti, who doesn't get used nearly enough in my view, I think she's a fabulous player. So that's where you go down to. Now, when you're getting down to 8 and 9 and any other team, you're not bringing in a girl who could potentially start for, you know, 6 or 7.
Yeah, well, then when you said to me last week, and I was listening back to our podcast because I wanted to make it for listeners, I was listening back.
That is pathetic.
Is that a dad joke if ever I've heard one? I was listening, and you made just a fabulous point. Was it 7 internationals?
Yeah, 7 players from Australia at proper things.
Unbelievable. And, you're the doyen of WNBL. You're the doyen of basketball, full stop. But what you know about WNBL is just second to none. And I'm now going to come at your left field. Most improved?
Oh, most improved. Wow. Well, that's probably Shyla Hill, because you've got to look at what she's doing at Townsville right now compared to what she did at Bendigo.
As well. Yeah. 6.5 points a game. Yeah.
I think she wins that hands down. I'm not sure. Do they have that award?
I've got to be honest. I'm not sure. But I'm just throwing out, just because I just think people deserve to be mentioned, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Shyla's had a great year. And I know... And, I know I have history with Shane because I play with him. Like, he pushed, but she is unbelievable. Her work ethic is fantastic.
Yep.
She's got a great work ethic. So, it's not a shock to me when I see what's happening with her. But, yeah, I agree with you. Best defensive. Come on.
Well, that's probably still Lauren Nicholson. I mean, when she sets her mind on it, she's pretty good. I got to give a shout out to Sarah Blitzovs, because I thought the job that she did on Steph Talbot when Southside played them the first time was the best single defense that Steph Talbot's come across this season. And she really did a number on Steph in that game. She was really psyched for it, played very well offensively as a result. That's the interesting thing to me, Brad. Often when you have a player who's kind of a decent offensive player, but, maybe is a bit too emotionally connected to their point scoring, you take that away from them and say, listen, we've got a much more important assignment for you here. We need you to shut down this particular stud from the other team. It amazes me how often when that happens, that while you're busy focusing on your defensive assignment, you're so much more relaxed offensively, because defense is what your team needs from you this game. You end up scoring 18, 20 points at a high percentage. I've seen that happen so many times. I mean, Lauren Nicholson, she's one of our leading players, and she regularly scores highly while she's doing a number on someone down the other end of the floor. I think that's...
It's so true, mate. I remember my coach, Cliff Martin. Now, you'd remember Cliff Martin, 1981, played for Launceston, fabulous point guard at 6 foot, whatever he was, six, a little bit. And he was a coach, and he was phenomenal. And I remember he used to say to me, just concentrate on your defense. Don't worry about the offense. It'll come. Mm-hmm. Your defense will dictate it. I've also got to tell you a little story. I might tell you the story about Don Bickett. You remember Don Bickett?
Yeah, one of the three Bs.
Yeah, Killer Bs down in Illawarra. He played for ABA, and in 1992, I was playing ABA for the Sydney Comets, and Cliff Martin was our coach. Don Bickett played. We also had Mark Sid Ridlin, Jerry Everett. We had a fabulous team, Graham Davis, Bobby Croker. And I remember Cliff Martin was a coach that never, ever let you have water when you trained. Like, didn't matter. You could train for 3 hours. You would never, ever get a drink of water. Like, not even just like...
I'm not sure you'd get away with that now. Geez.
No, you wouldn't. And I remember we actually went down to Melbourne for the playoffs in the ABA. And I just remember Don Bickett and just these... Man, he's just a crack up of a guy. His brother actually played in the NFL as well. So, interesting. A great family, sporting family. And we ended up beating Brett Brown's Bulleen Boomers on the Friday night. And won what was a fabulous game in the semi-finals. I won't tell you about the after game because that shouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen now, these games. Like, how we got up on Sunday, I just don't know. And we played Ballarat on the Sunday, which had Eric Cooks and Eric Hayes, and we won in the grand final. And I remember, it was fantastic. I was 21, and this is like the life. It was my rookie season in ABA, and it was just great. And we're flying back in Sydney, and Don Bickett turns around and says, Cliff, I just will never, ever hear you say to me that not having water is right for training. It just goes against every single thing you've ever done in your life. You cannot have water. And Cliff Martin, in his American accent, which I was like, man, when I was in college, my coach would never let me have water. And we went 30-2 for the season. And Don Bickett, I kid you not, without even thinking, turned around and said, and if you had water, you would have gone 32-0. And it was just Don Bickett at his best, mate.
Yeah.
And I look at that and think to myself, coaches dictate this, and he always used to say to me, just work on your defense and the rest will come.
Yeah.
And I think it's fabulous. That's just great feedback from a coach.
All right, so what are you got? Any others? Any other ones you want to throw? Any curlies you want to throw at me?
Yeah, I want to throw, right? So who's going to win between the Lightning and Fire? Come on.
Absolutely, Townsville's going to win and the whole debate's going to become moot because, look, honestly, Brad, what the Lightning has been put through and what they've been through, bear in mind at the start of the season they had Christy Wallace and Alana Smith. That's who they thought they had. Great. And both injury situations, they're out. So you take out two potential starters that would have definitely put them into the mix for the championship. So for them to even be able to be competitive with the six rookies, seven South Australians, a lot of those kids that are playing state league here in South Australia, and they don't go very deep. Now, they go into Queensland, and then a week after they're there, we have this COVID outbreak here in South Australia, and suddenly they've got to go into quarantine. The teams they played against, which were at that stage Canberra and Perth, they didn't have to go into quarantine. The referees didn't have to go into quarantine. Anybody in the stadium didn't have to go into quarantine, but they had to go into quarantine because they'd come from South Australia 6 hours after the official time that the Queensland government ruled you were safe. So they're in quarantine for 9 days. And this, as I said last week, this wasn't one of those situations where they're sitting by the pool or anything. They had to surrender their room keys. They were locked into rooms. Okay, this hasn't been made public because everyone wants to put a big smiley face on the thing and go, they've done wonderfully well and there's even the implication that they were out training, which they were not. So and they were going stir crazy. So as I said last week on the podcast, when they came out and lost that first game to Melbourne by 40, anyone that was surprised it just doesn't really understand what they've been through. So I saw in the Bendigo victory elements in the second and third quarter of the way they started this off against Canberra and Perth, that confidence and the rhythm was returning. But these are very, very tired players. You know, they've had to play, 11 games? Or they will have had to play 11 games in 20 days.
That's a lot.
Three back-to-backs. And in between that, the draw was so crappy for them that they've had to play in Cairns and Mackay and Townsville. Well, a lot of the time, the teams they're playing are just sitting there waiting for them to drive in.
So can I add just one thing there, Boddy? And you will have listeners saying, well, hang on, the NBA play 82 games, the WNBA play. It doesn't matter what happens to other leagues. These girls are not used to playing that.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter what you put your body through. You can say, I train every day. Training is not the same as a game. So I'm with you. It's completely different when you have to put your body through that mentally as well.
I just don't think that the league has really looked out for them very, very much at all. It's almost like the teams that the league is worried about are the leading teams. They're the Southside, Canberra, Melbourne. You have a look at their draws and compare their draws to the draw that Adelaide got or that Perth got or that even Bendigo got. You go, Adelaide could have had a much better season if you just swapped them with Southside and gave them Southside's draw. I mean, Southside going 3 and 4 days without a game. I mean, it sucked the way this thing has been put together. But nobody's saying that because we're all, you and I both, are thrilled that we've even got a season that we're getting to see every game on television, despite some of the commentary. You can turn the commentary down. We're seeing everything, and we're happy that we've got a season. So in the joy of that, what's happened to Adelaide, has really been pretty ordinary, but has been lost amid the euphoria that we've got a season and the discovery of so many great young kids who are getting their opportunities because of the lack of American content or import content.
Yeah,
so
that's been great.
Yeah, there's so much to be happy about.
And I mean, you guys have got running water down now in Adelaide, and I think
not everywhere. Not everywhere. Oh. I've still got to go down the well and put the handle down and sift out the mud. We're coming along.
Imagine, just for all our listeners, you do realise that, like, Boddy is actually on a bike at the moment pedalling to create the electricity to get his laptop up and running. Like, he's just phenomenal. He does it all.
That's me and three squirrels. They're also gone too. Keep it up there, Barry. Barry, good work. Barry,
all right,
work.
Let's move on. Okay, so now,
Flyers. So the answer was Townsville will win tonight.
Yeah, okay, got it. So Flyers 1, Townsville 4. So there's the semi-final. I'm not even going to ask you that. Flyers go through. Capitals, Boomers. Who meets the Flyers in the grand final?
Oh, God, they're 1-1 in the two games they've played. So you sort of go, okay, there's not really a lot between them. This is an on-the-night type situation. Is Kayla George and Izzy Magbegora, are they going to have a big game to Mariana Tolo and Akili Froling? And then you add Kelsey Griffin factor, the Matty Rochie factor, then you swing back to the Boomers lineup and their backcourt and Tess Madgen and Matty Garrett. Look, it's a real on the nighter, and I'm just favouring Canberra for one reason, and that is that they're chasing a three-peat. They've got a little bit more riding on getting there, and so whether that helps, I think that probably will push them over the line, as opposed to that being a bit of an anchor and dragging them back. So I'm actually expecting that this game on the last game of the season, or last game of the regular season, second last game between Southside and Canberra, is a grand final preview.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm going Flyers Boomers for a grand final, and I'm just not sure if that's sentimental or whether it's actual. But whatever it is, that's what I'm going for. And
fair enough. It's probably not sentimental. It's probably more mental than senti, but we'll go with it.
And we get there to the grand final again. I know we spoke about this last week. Can anyone beat the Flyers?
Yes, the Flyers can beat the Flyers.
Yeah,
and I've seen that happen already a couple of times where they've got it wrong. I mean, you know, that's sort of taking the credit away from the teams that have beaten them a little bit. And I don't mean to do that. But in those instances, I do think Southside came out with a little bit of a cocky attitude and paid the price for it. Now, come playoffs, if that sort of seeps in and is there, they're vulnerable. Yeah, absolutely, they're vulnerable. But you would have to, you know, if you have to pick a team that you think is going to win, you'd have to pick Southside.
And is it, and I know we've had some viewers ask, or listeners ask, I should say, is it, you know, best of three, best of one? Talk to us through the playoffs.
I haven't double checked that. That's a really, really good question, and one we should probably cut out of the podcast so we don't look stupid. But we won't, because we don't care that we look stupid.
We always look stupid. Well, we've spoken about the WNBL, so that's been fabulous. And, you know, Boddy, you've said it how it is. Okay, like I said, it's great to talk WNBL, but Boddy, obviously the NBL has come out recently with a draw. We'll talk a little bit about that. But for the WNBL, what a massive signing announced yesterday. Jock Landale to United. Huge news.
Yes, that is huge news. I mean, this is the guy that basically knocked Xavier, no, not Xavier, sorry, Jonah Bolden out of the Australian team for the World Cup. He's a phenomenal pickup. I guess he's playing in Europe, and maybe, you know, the situation with COVID in Europe, it's safer to come home. But he has been training with United. He did put out a tweet saying how grateful he was to the club, and now he can repay him in this form. And that's fantastic, seeing one of our homegrown Australian stars that's been doing it overseas back in our own backyard. Along with, let's not forget, they signed Scotty Hobson. So they've put some really nice pieces together, United. They will be right there in contention for the championship.
So my only question, and I want to stay on Melbourne for a little bit, the point guard spot. Now, they got Shaili, and my understanding is they're going to put McCarron there in the point guard. Obviously, they got Golding, sensational. Yep. You mentioned Hobson. You know, they've got, and now Jock Landale, they've got a great thing. I just worry about that little point guard. You know, you look around the league and there's some fantastic spots there. Thoughts?
Oh, look, honestly, I think Mitch McCarron is a very good choice to run as your starting point guard. Actually, I think that gets him into the game. I've got nothing but respect for his game, and I think he will relish that position. Now, if you're sort of saying, okay, well, hang on, there's a Scotty Machado and there's a Casper Ware, and you start running through the import point guards. Remember, this is a league that goes in sort of trends, and it all sort of started. Somebody gets a good point. Then the next club does, then the next club does, then the next club does. Somebody gets a good three-man who can turn games around, then the next club does that. So maybe you know, Melbourne is confident they've got enough other pieces to sort of compensate that superstar point guard, that superstar import point guard. I don't think that's going to be a problem for them. I really don't. They had their issues with Melo Trimble, and a lot of the time when Shaili started in the point spot and they brought Trimble off the bench, they were better for it. So, you know, that they then revealed that they could go with a non-import point guard. So I think that's their thinking, and I fully support that.
Good call. All right, I'm going to throw some things at you like I did last week for your thoughts on that, please. Jared Bairstow signing with the Perth Wildcats. Now, talk to me about, we know that name, the Bairstow.
Yes. Talk to me. Well, it's interesting because it puts him up against his brother, Cam, who's now playing for the Hawks. So that'll be that in itself will be fun, as it has been fun to see the Froling boys go at it with the Hawks and Adelaide. Now it'll be Hawks and Brisbane. So, yeah, I think that's just a good thing. Another good, talented kid in the league. Yeah, good.
Kiefer Sykes signing with Phoenix. Bit of talk about him.
Yep, yep. No relation to Mark Sykes. Kiefer, no relation to Kiefer Sutherland, funnily enough. I don't even know why I said that. Jeez.
No, we're not going to cut that out, by the way.
Do we edit anything? Every stupid moment for the listeners to hear. Yeah, another good signing. But look, what I like is that the NBL has put out the first five rounds that we'll be able to see every game again on television, every single game as we are with the WNBL right now, which is terrific. I think it's prudent for the NBL, to only put out a small amount, like a cluster of rounds, and then revisit depending on what the circumstances are in the community with COVID. It starts January 10. I think that's a huge.
Yeah. So let me tell you, I have spoken to the NBL and obviously we've been tweaking about stuff. So it is a rolling schedule. That's the best way to put it out. They have brought the rounds in. Everyone gets home into games except for New Zealand. They will be staying within Australia. They'll actually be positioned in Melbourne. That's where they'll stay, and they'll come in and out of Melbourne wherever they go. I think it's very, very clever what the NBL has done. Adelaide, I know, have like six of their first eight games in Adelaide, and a lot of that's got to do with the COVID restrictions and everything, and I think that's brilliant. You then look at different situations where, you know, it's basically when I speak to the NBL, the thing that they're trying to work out is their board, like the attendance that they can get at games. So if you use an example as of today, you can have 100% of people in Queensland, but 30% in Victoria. So if you've got a 10,000 crowd that literally Melbourne United get every week, they can have 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
Now, please God, when you talk of this at the end of January, when things start to heat up for the NBL, that hopefully that's at 100% because Victoria is doing a great job. But I think the NBL have done a great job because they're just not saying, well, this is how it's going to be. What we're saying is, here's the first five rounds. We know what we want. We want to get the crowds there. Remembering, we don't have the billion-dollar TV rights that all these AFL and NBL clubs have. AFL and NRL clubs have. So I think it's a fantastic thing for the NBL, and I think they've done a good job, buddy.
I agree completely. I've got no qualms about that. And if they have to spend a few, you know, depending on the circumstances, obviously, but if they have to sort of go to a hub at some stage during the season, well, I think they're well prepared for that. I think they've got, you know, all their ducks lined up in a row. So it all just hinges on this goddamn coronavirus, doesn't it? You know, life will never quite be the same for anybody ever again. So I think, it's prudent to do it the way they've done it. And I'm really quite looking forward to it because, as you say, you know, Kiefer Sykes and Cam Glidden in the Southeast Melbourne lineup gives that a different kind of look. And Scotty Hobson, Jock Landau, Lamar Patterson playing for New Zealand. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and Machado and Oliver back for Cairns, you know, I was on a radio program earlier this week, and Cairns is very high in the betting in terms of championship contenders because of the fact that they have kept together that lineup with the absence only of DJ Newball.
And extremely well coached.
Oh yeah, no question.
So it's going to be interesting. I think Adelaide's done a good job.
Yes.
Perth will always be up there, but I'm so interested to see a Perth without Damian Martin.
Yeah, that's
blue guy, the guy that makes it happen. And then you go around the league. Sydney, that's a massive loss with Andrew Bogut. Any team without Andrew Bogut is a massive loss. But, you know, that's going to be huge. And obviously Tate not coming back because he signed with Houston. So we're looking forward to the season. Boddy, I'm going to finish on one last thing, which a very good friend of mine, I played with him for a number of years, and I think it's just so fantastic. Matt Nielsen is now named as the Boomers assistant coach, linking up with Brian Gorsham. I was lucky enough to be there for a couple of championships, and Matty was there as well in the 2003 and 2004 as a coach, obviously, with Gorsham, a player with Matty. What a great signing for what is, you know, an absolute outright champion, and obviously the Austin Spurs coach as well. Thoughts on that one?
I've been waiting for Matt Neilson to get an NBL head coaching role, to be honest, for a little while. He's more than done his apprenticeship with the Wildcats and also with the San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. And now he's a head coach and coming into the Boomers program. Yeah, that's a real positive. And I see him as one of our major coaches in this country going forward, because he's still a relatively young man, certainly in coaching terms, and working with Brian, who obviously has a good working relationship with, not just through the Kings, but also through their time with the Boomers and Olympics together. Yeah, I think it's a terrific, terrific thing and a great note on which to go out.
Yeah, I agree. Look, the guy played 244 games. What, he played Greece, Russia, Spain, Lithuania, played under Gorge. I know he's honoured to be there, so it's absolutely fantastic. Boddy, thank you again. I'll let you get off your bike because the electricity could be running out.
Barry's passed out. My little school, yeah. He's gone. He's gone. We're starting to slow down.
Now, mate, just please, everyone, don't forget bodynodge.com, BOTINAGY.com for the greatest basketball on the internet writer there is. You're a great man, Boddy. It's great to join you. And everyone, thank you for joining us. Watch that WNBL. It's great. NBL starting soon, and we'll see you all next week.